Okay, so hello everyone. I'm so excited that I can be here. I'm Daniel and I will present the session about Universal Windows 10 applications here. So yes, I'm here to talk about Universal Windows 10 applications, and it's really great to be here and enjoy my session. I would like to tell a few words about me. I'm a mobile application developer. I'm also passionate about mobile technologies. I run my own blog. Here you can see the address. And I'm also a Microsoft student partner, so I'm helping Microsoft with some cases for students and some workshops. So I'm connected with somehow with Microsoft. Okay, so a few words about me. Here is my Twitter on the top, so you can find me if you, of course, want. I would like to say a few words about agenda today. So firstly, I would like to say about .NET 2015 and what has changed. Just to clarify, I will not tell you everything connected with technical aspect. It will not be deep dive here. I will just say what has changed and how it is connected with Windows 10 applications, universal applications. I will also tell you about Universal Windows Platform, so how the Windows ecosystem has changed also. So I will talk about the structure and capabilities of the platform. So it can be interesting for you because, as you know, Windows is different now than before. After that, I would like to show you tailored design section. Here I will talk about adaptive triggers and device family folders. And because I ran out of time, I will not do live coding as I planned, so I will show you my example in Visual Studio. Of course, I will try to explain the whole solution and how, for example, adaptive triggers work. So I will show you this in Visual Studio, so do not worry. After that, I would like to say a few words about store publication. We will not publish the application today to the store, of course, but I would like to concentrate about this one single binary theory here, because maybe you heard about this, that at the end we have one single binary, and what about this? What is the true? And what's new about store publication? Because I suppose that there are people who publish some Windows 8.1, for example, applications. So the whole process is quite the same, but there are some major differences here. I will tell about this. And after that, I would like to talk about porting your existing applications to Windows 10 platform. But I will not talk about Android apps, iOS apps here. Because it's not in plan. I will talk about porting your Windows 8.1 applications, Windows Phone 8.0 and 8.1 applications, and also Silverlight apps here. And at the end, I will do some sum up about this. So, let's start. As you can see on the slide here, there is the picture, and on the left side, there is something that you are, I suppose, familiar with, so .NET Framework. And this is .NET Framework. It's normal .NET Framework for building Windows applications. So for example, UWPF applications, Windows Form, ASP.NET. So this is the framework that you know, but the most important thing here is on the right side of this slide. And here, as you can see, there are some new things. I see here .NET Core 5, and here are those two boxes, Core CLR and .NET Native. And on the right side, you can see Windows icon, Linux icon, Apple icon, and on the right side, Windows icon. Of course, I will just in a minute talk about the specification of the .NET Core, but I would like you to know that there is .NET framework that is open source, and this is .NET Core. And so we can build our .NET applications, for example, on Linux machines or on OS X machines. Of course, on the bottom, there are runtime components and some shared libraries. So it is assumed that you can still use some sets of libraries. And I will talk about this on the next slide here. Because what is the main difference between .NET Framework here and .NET Core 5? The first, most important thing here is that .NET Framework is not cross-platform. So you cannot, for example, build normal .NET Framework applications using Linux. But with .NET Core, you can achieve this because .NET Core is open source. So .NET Core is open source version of .NET Framework. So you can build your apps using Linux or maybe on Mac. With .NET Framework, there was one runtime. There is one runtime. But with .NET Core, we have two possible runtimes, .NET Core runtime and .NET Native runtime. And I will just stop here with .NET Native runtime, because how it is connected with, Windows 10 applications. .NET Native runtime is runtime especially created for Windows 10 applications. So every Windows 10 application is compiled with .NET Native compiler. So at the end, there is no intermediate language. And after that, your application is compiled with just-in-time compiler to the native code. At the end, you have native code, one single binary. And I will talk about this later. I will show you this section. I will show you this when I will talk about publishing your application to the store. What's more, in both, you can write in your favorite languages. So maybe C Sharp, maybe Visual Basic. It's up to you. And as I told you, in .NET Framework, there is just-in-time compiler. So when you're executing your application, yes, it is written, for example, in C Sharp. After that, it is compiled to intermediate language, yes. And when the specific fragment of your application is using in the application, it is compiled to native code for machine. But there is ahead of time compiler. So at the end, you have one single binary. There is no this middle environment between your code and your machine. And of course, you can still use .NET Core libraries called CoreFX in both runtimes. But as I told you, I would like to talk everything about, I will not tell you everything about those runtimes. I would like you to know that every Windows 10 application is using .NET Core as its runtime, and it's compiled with .NET Native compiler. So ahead of time compiler here. Great, but it is assumed that Windows 10 application is application that runs on every Windows 10 device. Yes, so if I'm creating Windows 10 application, I assume that it will work on mobile with Windows 10 operating system. It will work on desktop, on IoT, for example, on Xbox. Windows 10 application works on every device that is running Windows 10 operating system. And what is the impact here? Because it's very important, for example, for end user here. Because as you can see, application startup is 50% faster. What does it mean? For example, let me show you an example with user experience when your application is installed in the system, so the user can fastly use it. Yes, it's faster access to the application. What's more, application is consuming 13% less memory here, and it's also important for the device, for example, for mobile, especially. There are no dependencies on desktop .NET runtime installed on system. I will talk about this in a minute, but as I told you before, Windows 10 now is a platform. So we can use our Windows 10 application on every Windows 10 device, every device that has Windows 10 installed. But yes, now I will talk about Windows 10 platform. And what has changed? What is important for end user and for us developers? Yes, because The first most important thing here is the journey, the convergence journey here. And as you can see here, there was a small part, a small common part between Xbox One and Windows 8, but it was not enough. After that, Microsoft tried to do some convergent app model between Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.1. So, as I told you, I suppose that there are people who tried to develop the Windows 8.1 apps, and I think that you remember that in Visual Studio, when we created Windows 8.1 Universal Application, there were two projects with design for mobile and design for desktop, and there was this shared code. So, to be honest, it was not really Universal Application here. But now, with Windows 10, it is. So, there is unified core and app platform. Yes. As you can see, desktop device, phone device, Xbox device, there are units. It's called units. So we have desktop unit, mobile unit, Xbox unit, maybe HoloLens in the future. And all devices running Windows 10 have the same Windows core. For example, there was Windows 7 operating system and Windows Phone 7.5 operating system for mobiles. So this, those systems, there was the difference between core in those systems, yes? So the core wasn't the same for Windows 7, for example, and Windows Phone 7.5 here. But now there is a common core for Windows 10. What's more, on Windows Core, there is Universal Windows Platform. And this is the heart of the whole platform. And what is Windows Universal Platform? This is a common API surface that can be accessible from different devices. For example, if you create your application for mobile and for desktop, for example, you can still access those APIs from both. So from desktop, from mobile, maybe from Xbox, because it's a common part from each unit. As I told you, for example, desktop unit, phone unit, Xbox unit. So single API surface for all devices. Here's the fragment from the manifest of the application, Windows 10 Universal Application. And did someone create application for Android, for example, here? Okay, and I think that you are familiar with this in Android platform, where you must set the target platform and so on. And this is quite the same. Here is minimum version and maximum version tested. What does it mean? As I told you, Windows is a platform. Yes, there is Windows platform. And so this set of common APIs. And minimum version, if I'm creating my application, I'm creating it with a specific platform, the version of those APIs, as I told you. So for example, here, 10.0.169. But there is a newer version, and I've tested my application. OK, it's running the newer version of the platform. The newer version of APIs, OK, it works. Great. So I can set maximum version tested just to inform that my application was created with this version, so this minimum version, but it can run on the higher version of the platform. So user can still use it on the higher version of the platform, Universal Windows Platform. Single binary. Yes, this is the most important topic here, because Microsoft is presenting this idea with one single binary compiler in the cloud. And here, forget about one single binary for now. Just for now, forget about it. Just concentrate, please, on Windows application and how it can work on, for example, mobile and desktop. For example, on different devices. There is something what is called testing for capabilities. So we have chance in our application to test the platform that our application is launched on. So for example, I can check if I'm currently on mobile, or maybe I'm on desktop, or maybe I'm on the Xbox platform. Okay, we can test it. I will show you this. And of course, the application is adjusting to devices, because it's obvious that, for example, on mobile, we cannot add as many controls to the layout as, for example, on desktop, because there is no space for that, yes? So two important things here. Testing for capabilities, so which device I'm currently using now and my application is launched on, and of course, adjusting to devices, to screens, for example, because IoT device, can work without a screen, yes? So our application must test it. But you can ask, okay, great, it's working everywhere, it's Windows 10 platform, great. So a small amount of work and it's just working. No, it's not like this. If you really want to create your universal Windows 10 platform application, you must concentrate on some specification of devices. For example, here, there is something that is called platform extensions. It's called extension SDK, because I'm creating my application for mobile. Okay, I've created it for mobile, and it's working on mobile devices, great. But in my team, there was discussion, and for example, manager said, okay, we are ready to go with this application on desktop devices. Okay, but there is some functionality that can be only run with desktop, yes, for example. So, okay, that's not there is no problem, because just right-click on Add Reference in Visual Studio on References. Right-click, Add Reference, and there is something. For example, Microsoft Desktop Extension SDK, Microsoft Mobile Extension SDK, Windows IoT Extension SDK. So I can provide some special SDK only for this platform. So I can say that on IoT devices, I will do some coding connected with, I don't know, LED, for example. So I can use this Windows IoT Extension SDK. And it will help me to just make my application work on every device. Testing capabilities, as I told you before, we have chance to check on which device we are currently working, and here is a good example. On the mobile, we have camera button, yes? You can agree with me, or maybe not. But I suppose there is a camera button. And I would like to just handle this camera button click in my code. I can do it, great. But what about desktop? If I run this code on desktop, so I will try to handle the camera button click on desktop, will it work? Maybe you know. Anyone? No. It will not work. There will be tile load exception if you try to run this code on desktop, because there is no hardware buttons, and this is the different platform. And that is called testing capabilities. So I can check here, Windows.Foundation.Metadata API information is type present, Windows Phone UI input hardware buttons. So am I on mobile? Yes, you are. So please just handle the camera button click. But if I'm not on the mobile device, this code here will not execute. So it's testing for capabilities just to provide the best user experience and to handle errors in your application when you want to provide it to to many devices. So just to sum up, as I told you, there are units. Yes, desktop, mobile, Xbox, maybe, for example, IoT, HoloLens in the future. Each device with Windows 10 has Windows Core, so this common part. On the top of the Windows Core, there is Universal Application Platform. Yes, so this common surface, as I told you, that you can use everywhere, and your application will still work. But you can add some platform extensions here. So for example, I've created my application for desktop. OK, great. But in the future, I will decide to add some mobile functionality. So great. I've got extension SDK for desktop, but I will add extension SDK for mobile, maybe to provide some additional functionality. I can do it with extension SDK. OK, so it's time for show how to create tailored design for your applications, for Windows 10 universal applications. As I told you, I had a plan to do some live coding, but there is no time. So I will show you example in Visual Studio. Let me, OK, great. Here is a new project, Universal Windows Application Project. And as you can see, there is only one project, not as it was in Windows 8.1, Universal Apps, that there was shared code and two different layouts. No, there is one layout. And what I can do here, I can right-click on main page. It's already created, but I will show you the process of how to do it, how to add adaptive triggers. And I can open Blend. Blend is a tool for developers to create the best user experience for their apps, to create layouts. It's much faster to use Blend than Visual Studio. OK, when it's loading, I will tell you that. I want to tell you something about adaptive triggers here. And after that, I will show you how they work. Adaptive trigger is a functionality in your app that is responsible for checking the screen size, and it can react with some layout changes. So for example, I'm on desktop. OK, adaptive trigger is reacting. And I'm on desktop, so apply this layout, for example, this state. But I'm on mobile. OK, adaptive trigger again is executed, and the layout for mobile is applied. And it's not magic. It's very simple here. Because in Blend, we have something that is called states. And I've already created the visual state group. But if I click here, I can add state group. So it will appear here. And here, I can click add state. And I've added two states, mobile and desktop, yes? And after that, if I have my mobile and desktop state, I can right-click here. And of course, here I can add new adaptive trigger. But I will not do it because it already exists. But the most important thing is here on the top. What's here? There is minimum window height and minimum window width. And what does it mean? I set it to 320, and it means that my trigger will be launched when the width of the device, of the screen of the device, will be under or equal equals the 320 here. So it can react if I'm on mobile. I can click OK, and it will add adaptive trigger here. That's all. I'm doing the same for desktop here. But for desktop, I will set minimum window width 124. So my application, the adaptive trigger inside, will check, am I on the desktop? Is the minimum window width under or equals 1024? If yes, OK, apply this state. And I have those two states that I've created before. I'm really sorry that I cannot do the live coding here. Believe me, I had a plan, but I must just make it faster here. Do not worry about the code that you can see here. It's generated automatically here, because as you can see, I can change states. Mobile state, here, I can change the frame that I'm on mobile here. And also, I can set the desktop state and see how my application will look on desktop. So the whole code is generated automatically. And what's more, for these states, I can create layouts. Because now I'm in mobile state, so for example, I can click Assets, All, and I can add some new controls here, but they will not appear in the desktop state. They will be invisible. And if I click Desktop state, I can add some other controls to it. And at the end, if I launch my application here, you can see, just in a minute, okay. You can see that it's changing the layout. Here is the button with mobile content and mobile picture. But if I will resize it, enlarge, there is a desktop picture and desktop content of the button. So there is one layout, but I can manipulate it with adaptive triggers. What I can do more? I can add some device family folders. So I will close the blend now and just go back to Visual Studio. And here, I have two folders. I'm just creating those folders, like right-click on project, add new folder. And you must call it device family dash and the name of the platform. So here, I've created device family desktop and device family mobile folders. Why? Because now in device family desktop and mobile folders, I can add some additional layouts. I will show you this. In device family desktop, I have a folder assets. I can put some images here, and those images will be applied when your application is launched on desktop device. Here in Visual Studio, when I open my main page, you can see that it's still here, yes. So the desktop picture and desktop button. But I will copy this to device family desktop folder. Okay. I must also change the namespace here. So I will call it device. There should be the device family dash stop. Okay. So there should be a dot here. Okay, I must do it on my own here. I will just in a second show you how does it work in the designer. Okay, great. Example device family here. I can rebuild my application. And I will add additional image. So the image with HoloLens. I want this image to be displayed when I'm on the desktop device. So what I'm doing here, right-click on Assets folder in Device Family Desktop folder, add existing item, and here I can add the HoloLens image. And now my application will find the HoloLens picture. And if I launch it again, just in a few seconds here, you can see that, okay, there is a mobile, but if when I enlarge this, there is a HoloLens. So what does it mean? It means that I can manipulate the layouts for my application on different platforms here. So it's great because it was very hard to achieve the great user experience on any device when you are creating your application. And just to be honest, I suppose that you will not create your application to work everywhere, to be honest. Yes, because always we are concentrating on some units. So for example, okay, we are doing our application for mobile and desktop. And maybe somehow for Xbox, but I suppose that there is no need to create your application works great on IoT, desktop, Xbox, mobile, HoloLens. I think that it's better to concentrate on some specific units. Okay, so you can manipulate the layouts for your application. You can use adaptive triggers and device family folders. But there is one question. What about this single binary and this compiler in the cloud? So I will concentrate firstly on one store for Windows 10 devices. What does it mean? I don't know if you remember and you are familiar with Windows Store, but there were two different Windows Stores, from Windows Phone Store and Windows Store. And now we have one Windows Store for all Windows 10 devices. And that's great, because it's normal, yes? If I'm creating universal apps, I need a universal store. So that's the fact. But what about different CPU architectures? How? For example, my mobile is using ARM architecture. My desktop is using x64. How my application will work everywhere? It will. But you must manifestly tell when you are creating the app packages for the store, because every publication for the store, you must always create app packages that will be uploaded to the store, yes? And when you're creating those app packages in Visual Studio, you must manifestly say that, okay, my application will work on x86 architecture, 864 architecture, and ARM architecture here. So you must say it, because without that, your application will not be accessible, for example, on mobile devices, when you will not provide the information about ARM architecture. So the store will tell you on the device that, no, this application will not work on your device. You cannot download it and install. So that's very important here, because there is the main difference between Windows 8.1 apps and Windows 10 apps. You must just say it manifestly when you are creating the app packages for your application. Of course, before publishing to store, there is Windows App Certification Kit. So it's called WEC, and it's used for testing your application before it's uploaded to the store. So it's launching your application, closing it, checking some bugs, some functionality, memory usage, and so on and so on. So this is the same process as before in Windows 8.1. But after that, at the end, there are three different packages. It's called Apex Upload File. What does it mean? What it is? As you can see, here is ARM Apex Upload 864, Apex Upload x86, Apex Upload. So what is Apex Upload file? It contains intermediate language. So this I suppose that you know the structure of .NET framework, but if you're creating your application with normal .NET framework, your code, for example, I'm creating application in C#. My code is compiled to intermediate language. And after that, when my application is executed, this specific fragment of code is compiled with just-in-time compiler to native code. And here, in those packages, you must know that there is intermediate language. So it is not one single binary, and there is no native code inside. OK, great. So what about one single binary compiler in the cloud? All those three packages must be uploaded to the store. So you must manifestly upload a different architecture Apex upload files. Why? Because the store will compile those packages with .NET native compiler to one single binary. And yes, that's true. There is one single binary, but for end user. So I'm downloading my application on phone. So I select, OK, great, universal application. I will download and install it. Great. And yes, I will achieve one single binary on my device. But in the cloud, in this store, there are three different binaries. And the store will select the best match for you. So if you're using mobile device, it will select the ARM Apex upload for you, will compile it, and after that you will install the application. But for example, if you are on mobile, it will prepare another file, another binary here. So it's very important here, because for us, I suppose, developers, there are three packages, and there is no one single binary. No, no, no. But for end user, I suppose that user will not mind about what's inside the store. But for end user, yes, it's really one single binary downloaded on mobile device or on desktop, and it will work. So this is the thing that I wanted to show you, because to be honest, I had a problem to understand how, when Microsoft presented this solution with one binary, I had one question: how, for example, on mobile devices with ARM architecture and with on these desktop devices, different architectures and one single binary. And how does it work? Just like this. So please remember about this, because it's very important for developer, because after that, user will not be able to download your application, for example, on mobile. So the last thing, I think important too, what about my existing or your existing Windows apps? That's the question. How about the path for porting them? I will concentrate about Windows applications. I will not talk about Android, iOS, about porting them. The first path is for Windows 8.0 and 8.1 apps here. So what I must do as a developer? What I should do to prepare my application for Windows 10 platform? I should do some minimal code refactoring, because there are some new APIs in Windows 10 platform. You can still use some earlier, but you must check the code if your code will still work with Universal 10 platform. What's more, you must redesign your application to be accessible, for example, from mobile and from desktop, if you're planning to really create universal application. So you must change the layout here. If you have Windows Phone 8.1 application, but runtime application, not Silverlight, and at this point, you must also do some minor code changes just to check, will my code work with Windows 10 platform? So with those APIs, as I told you, Surface. And I must design my user experience for my multiple form factors. So here I must just create adaptive layout. Windows 8.1 Universal App. So this is the application created for mobile and for desktop, but using Windows 8.1, yes, and Windows Phone 8.1. You must merge the user experience here. So you must redesign the different layouts to one. So as I told you, in Windows Phone 8.1 and 8.1 project, this universal Windows 8.1 applications had different layouts in Visual Studio. Yes, at the end we have two different binaries. So you must merge the UI, create one, and maybe use adaptive triggers or device family folders here. And you must also refactor your code to target universal application platform APIs. It's very important. Again, to check, will my code work with Windows 10 universal apps platform? We must check it at this point. Windows Phone Silverlight apps, there is a lot of work with this, because first you must redesign your user interface from Silverlight to XAML, so to redesign the whole layouts for your applications. What's more, you must rewrite the whole code here, so to target the universal app platform, because it's written in Silverlight, so you must redesign the whole code. And also, you must provide user experience for different multiple form factors, because if you want to create your application for many devices and make it really universal, you must do some changes with the layout. But I've prepared some useful links, and I would like to shortly tell about the solutions for porting here. Of course, I will share this presentation. If you will not have a time to just, I don't know, copy those links, do not worry, I will share it. But I would like to tell you about first tool. This tool is providing solution to port your application from Windows Phone 8 and 8.1 Silverlight to Windows 10 Universal Platform. And it is created as a plugin for Visual Studio. Right-click on the project on Visual Studio, and here is something that is called Convert to Universal Windows Platform. And don't think that it is right. Like, two clicks works? No. You must still check some code differences. Of course, it will redesign the project and do some work for you, but you must still check the project at the end. For example, some capabilities in manifest and some changes with the layout. Okay, what's more? The second tool is created as a PowerShell script, and how does it work and how we can use it? It's for Windows 8.1 applications, and it's for porting them to Windows 10 platform. And how does it work? We must copy this script to the folder with our project and run this script. It will redesign the structure of our application, so it will do automatically some changes in manifest. It will do some changes with the code, so it will change the fragments, for example, to target Universal Windows Platform. But still, after that, you must do some changes on your own, because it will not work like it will not work as two clicks and it's just working. No, you must still check: is everything all right here? Can I launch my application? Is it okay for publishing to the store? Is the manifest okay? If yes, it's ready to be published to Windows 10 Universal Windows Platform. At this point, I would also like to say that for now, at this moment, there is no tool for Visual Studio that enables you as the developers to just do right-click, convert my application to Universal Windows Platform, and it will work. There is no tool. I know that Microsoft is working with this script on the bottom, and they want to create a plugin for Visual Studio with that. But at this moment, there is no chance to do that. Sorry. And here, just to sum up the whole discussion about Universal Windows Platform, I would like to say that there are some changes connected with operating systems. So now we have one operating system. So there is no difference. Every Windows 10 device have the same operating system. This Windows Core, yes? Also, there is one developer center. Before, we had two different developer centers, Windows Phone Developer Center, Windows Developer Center, and there was some mess, I think, about this. But now there is one developer center where you can publish your applications. And of course, there is one store, so there is no Windows Phone Store, no Windows Store, a Silverlight Store. There is only one store where you can publish your applications. And that's very important because it enables you to do things faster and to create your great Universal Windows 10 applications. And this is about Universal Windows 10 applications. I tried to tell you as much as I can, and the time is running out. I'm running out of time, so I will try to answer a few questions, because maybe you have some questions. I will try to answer them. Of course, I will be accessible during the lunch, so I can talk with you. I'll be accessible all day. I'll also be on the after party, so we can talk. And I hope that you enjoyed my session. Thank you very much for being here.